This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the November 30th edition of Invest Talk, the last trading day of the month. And it was a big one. And it's all about above average investing for the average investor. This is a two-way conversation. As you know, it's always about money, your money specifically. And please feel free to bring your those kind of questions, many money questions, to me. And it may be simple. It's okay. Beginners are always welcome. And if it's too complex or esoteric, I'll do my best to break it down to the basics, or maybe I won't be able to answer it at all. And hopefully I will tell you that I don't know. Now, this morning, the headline on MarketWatch came in: Dow logs longest streak of monthly gains in 22 years as it closes above 24,000. So all the major indexes made new highs today because we had a big up day. And for the month, pretty big up month. Okay. And, you know, this is the normal time of the year where the stock market does well. And usually November, December, January, February, March, sometimes April, and sometimes October, those 6 months are the best times of the year. And the other 6 months are the worst times in historical terms. So we had a pretty good month up this month. The Dow was up about 3% or so for the month, which is a pretty big gain for a month. Any 1 month. And this year has been a pretty good year for stocks. Now, it's been interesting that the focus all up to a couple of weeks ago, that gain was focused on what people are calling the FANG stocks, F-A-N-G, Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Google, Alphabet, those stocks. Those are the ones driven the market the most, the big, huge companies driving the indexes. For instance, today, if you even look at today, the market was up huge, right? 331 points on the Dow. Yet, there was 174 stocks making new highs on high volume, but the 375 stocks making new lows on high volume. This is odd. Remember, it was normal yesterday. It was pretty odd today and such a big up day. It's just unusual. Nothing is quite normal unless we want to say it's a new normal. And when everybody even mentions that to me, that it might be different this time, I know the end is near. I haven't had anybody mention that yet. It's different this time. But the big move up today, of course, was the positive aspects of the tax bill, the big tax cut that's coming, allegedly that's coming. It got through some hurdles and might be up for a vote, and some senators who were maybe not for it and have changed their minds. So, you know, that made the market look good. The market investors like that because it's going to be a very large cut for corporate taxes. Meaning more earnings, meaning the PE is not as high as it appears because the E is going to go up. That's what the thinking is anyways. And we had a bunch of economic data. It's going to be one of my talking points today, all the economic data that also has helped support the market this week. We'll talk about that in a little bit more details. If you have any questions, give me a call right now. Time to go to our 24-hour listener line and check in for questions. Here's one that came in before today's Invest Talk.
Hi, Steve. This is Brian calling, first-time caller. I started recently listening to your podcast. I really enjoy it. And I heard you mention that there's no such thing as a dumb question, so I'm taking the liberty to reach out. I'm 23 years old, and I'm starting to take interest in the market and learning about how to invest in stocks the right way. What I did do is I took a few hundred dollars and just invested it across a few different stocks. My question is there a better way to go about it and learn the market, to be able to, you know, learn it the right way and also hopefully in the long run make some money? I know one thing I hear people mentioning is something, a Roth IRA. I'm not sure what that is. Is that something I need to go through my employer, or I could go set it up on my own? I have a few different questions just about getting started. I heard you mention about an index fund also. So if you could just please elaborate, that would be so greatly appreciated. Thank you so much.
Okay, all beginners should start with index funds, not individual stocks. I know it's exciting to go and pick stocks that you really like, and there's nothing wrong with it, but it's a risky thing to do because you don't have very much money and you can't get good diversification. But it's a better, smarter choice to do indexing until you develop enough knowledge where you and enough money that you can buy lots of stocks, you know, 20, 30 of them, so across different sectors to give you a good diversification. But before that, indexing, and you can buy an index fund. It's called an ETF, exchange-traded fund, just like you can buy a stock. And the symbol SPY, is, for instance, is the S&P 500. You buy an SPY, and you're buying all 500 companies. DAI is the Dow 30. QQQ is the NASDAQ 100 stocks, all instant diversification. Anyways, IWM is Russell 2000. These are all indexes. A Roth versus a regular IRA, they have different tax treatments. They're both retirement accounts. And at your age, I would probably suggest a Roth. And you could open up, what that means is you put money there in there after tax, but it grows forever tax-free. You never have to pay taxes on any of the growth when you eventually take it out. That's what a Roth IRA does. A regular IRA, you get to deduct from your taxes this year as that income that you put in a regular IRA. So if you put $5,000 in a regular IRA, you get to deduct $5,000 off your income this year. And then it grows all of the years till retirement. But the difference is you have to start paying taxes when you start drawing it out, and taxes on all that money that's in there. Remember, a Roth, you pay taxes on the money you make today, but when you start pulling it out when you're 65 years old or however age, you never have to pay taxes on it. So those are the different two things. You might want to look them up. Go to Investopedia.com. Investopedia.com. They have tutorials. It's a great place to look up information, definitions of things that you don't understand what I'm saying or anybody else is saying. It's a great website to start your investing career. Now let's look at our list of topics today. Should millennials enjoy a different play? That's our main talking point. Millennials, remember, the millennials is a larger group of people than the baby boomers, a generation that I am part of. So that's their big impact. So what new challenges face them going forward? And that's going to be one of our talking points. What to do to protect your profits? What if you want to protect profits? You have had a great run, right? We've had a great one. What do you do to protect profits? How can you protect it? What method should you use? I'm going to talk about that a little bit. And I want to talk about economic stats that came out this week. All of them were pretty bullish, or most of them were pretty bullish, and that just added to the week's gains. And yesterday, I didn't get to it, but I'm hoping to get to it today. Automation, how many jobs is that going to destroy? Is that a bad thing or a good thing? What should we worry about that? So those would be the things that we're going to talk about. The Dow is up 331 points today. The NASDAQ up 49. And the S&P up 22. So the Dow led the Dow 30, the Dow 30 biggest stocks, led the market up. And as I've told you before, in a normal, healthy bull phase, usually it's the NASDAQ. But what I'm seeing is a little change in that the growth stocks aren't as favored, even though they're going up. I'm not trying to say, whoa, it's all over for them. All I'm pointing out is we're seeing a little transition away from growth. And growth, especially in those FANG stocks, Facebook, Apple, Alphabet, Netflix and Google, those are all growth names, right? Even though Apple is so big, some of these things are so big that, you know, they have trouble growing, but they're still considered growth names. And the growth has been in favor this year, whereas last year, value stocks were in favor. And it's probably going to change hands again. It's very common back and forth. It's common. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Do you know that Uncle Sam is coming after your Bitcoin gains? cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase ordered to give IRS data on 14,000 users. They're going to have to pay money on that. Taxes? Got questions about investing in taxes? Check in now, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Jim from Indiana. I picked up Teva, T-E-V-A, at about $13.20. I've been watching it since it fell, and it looked like it was heading back up, and I could, you know, see it breaking that average, which seemed like a fairly decent buy signal to me. It's moved up pretty well for me, and I'm wondering if you can help me out with a sell point. Thank you so much, and you guys have a great day, and sure appreciate the show.
Okay, it's now at $14.82. This is Teva, T-E-V-A, Israel developer of generic specialty and over-the-counter drugs. And as I said before, they're one of the largest, or if the largest, generic drug maker in the world. It's a $15 billion company, and that's after it got crushed, going from $30 in the mid-30s all the way down to $12, $13, now $14.82. They make money, have always made money. It's just that their profits are going down. They announced cutting their dividend by 75% to pay down debt, and they need to turn it around. They got a new CEO, so on and so forth, and that's why it got crushed. And it looks like it's trying to make a comeback. I would say that it's starting to hit resistance right around $15 right now, and it should hit a lot of resistance when it gets up to the $18 area. So if you don't want to take profits now, your $18 area is the next place. And then after that, it can go by all the way up to back to 30. That's the next gap up to that in the $30 area. Those are the sell points if you want to lock in profits. Teva, I'm not sure how you say it, has a P.E. ratio of 3. It's a $14.82 stock, but the forward P.E. is not that low. It's more closer to 4, maybe 5, okay? So, but that's still very, very low. The 5-year range is 2 to 13 on the P.E. ratio. Return on equity is very high at 16%. That's very good. But the earnings are going down 25% this year, another 22% next year. And that's why it's under a lot of pressure. You know, it's a tough situation. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Time for Best Talk 101. When you buy and sell stocks, you sign on for an up and down ride, right? We all know that. Sometimes gains or losses of value seem completely logical and sometimes completely illogical. Like, for instance, a company announces higher earnings this quarter and then the stock drops. So how do you make sense of that? In general, it's best to ignore the very short-term movements. Trust your research. Stay with your research. Think long-term, not short-term. So don't worry about the illogical day-to-day moves. Don't focus so narrowly. That's InvestTalk 101. This is InvestTalk. I'm Steve Peasley. I welcome your money questions. Should you be asking where to stash your money? Because this high-flying bull market makes you nervous? We can talk live right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time, or use the same number for the hours, off-hour calls, 888-99-CHART. Love to talk to you. Millennials, they need help. They need help with financing, retiring, you know, earnings. They have a problem in that, you know, many of them have debt that is very difficult for them to overcome. And I'm talking about student loan debt in particular. That has caused a lot of issues and might be the reasons why they're marrying later. They are much less interested in buying a house anytime soon. They're just behind. And it may be mostly financial why they're behind. It's hard to know what exactly is the reason. But also, because of that debt, you know, they, their living expenses is are constrained. They are behind the baby boomers at the same age as far as buying power earnings. How much money they're earning, how much buying power gives them. Now, they also are ahead of the baby boomers, my generation, in understanding and investing in the stock market. That's surprising. It surprises me. But they're ahead. And, of course, they are much more attuned to the cutting edge of technology and how that will help them going forward. So I have more faith in the article that I'm reading that I have read. They have less faith on the future of the millennials than I do. I think it looks fairly bright. They think it looks just muddled. I think that they are going to be the drivers of the next, boom in the United States economic cycle. I really think they are. And it's all going to be on the backs of technology. On the back of technology, anyways. We've already seen it. We're already in it. It's happening today. So I think it's just going to continue and accelerate. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I'm willing to talk about anything that's on your mind. Let's go back to our voicemails and see if we can pick up another caller. Again, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. Hey, Justin. This is John from Michigan. I'm calling about Energy Transfer Partners, ETP. It's a limited partnership, and my question is that different from a master limited partnership? I'm buying this in an IRA if I do buy it, and like to get your opinion on it. Looking forward to seeing natural gas demand going up. It seems like it's a good buy. So be interested to hear your opinion. Love the show. Learning a lot. Thank you.
ETP is a master limited partnership, not just a limited partnership, a master limited partnership. And there's the same. Master limited partnerships and limited partnerships publicly traded are the same. They're all master limited partnerships if they're a limited partnership. At least that's what I think. I'm not going to be 100% sure of that. But ETP owns and operates pipeline terminals and crude oil acquisition and marketing assets in 37 states. It's going to make 77 cents a share this year, then 99 cents a share next year. It's a $16.61 stock, so it's about a 16 PE going forward. Though not cheap, but not super expensive. The low on the five-year average is 11. The high is 359. Return to equity is okay at 12%. Not great, not bad. Earnings are going up, and they say they pay 13% dividend. Well, you never know exactly. Master limited partnerships are known for their dividend paying, but you got to make the money to pay that kind of dividend, and hopefully now borrow the money to pay the dividend. So their sales are going up. I think this is probably a decent buy point where it is. They had a good day today. It was up almost 6% today, but before that, it's fallen. So. Master Limited Partnership has a different tax treatment. You are a limited partner. You're going to get a K-1. That's a partnership return at the end of the year. Even if you have owned it in an IRA or not, you're still going to have to pay taxes on their capital gains or distribution and their dividends that you pay. You're still going to have, remember, you're a partner. You're a partner in this company. Okay, when you buy their stock, it's a partnership position you're taking. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Automation, I want to get to that first before, and I don't want to get down, I meant to talk about it yesterday, so I don't want to slip through. There are going to be 39 million jobs lost by 2030 to automation. Of course, this is according to a study by McKinsey & Company. 30% of jobs could be, of the jobs, 30% of all jobs could be automated by then. 30%. So right now they're getting rid of all those automations. Low-paying jobs are the most impacted. Low-paying, low-skill. Now, I'm not too worried about it. This is a big shift like the Industrial Revolution. Remember we shift from from horse and buggy to automobiles. We shifted from, you know, it's a big shift. They don't talk about in this survey how many jobs are going to be created. Millions upon millions of jobs will be created. It happens all the time. The book, Creative Destruction, read that book. It kind of tells you all about it. Coming up next on Invest Talk, being a boring investor can yield exciting returns. That's one of our topics on the next Invest Talk. But what's your topic today? Give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial and a question. What is the major lesson that investors learned in 2008 when the market went south? Stop trying to time the market. How many people got out and stayed out waiting for that correction that never really came? Well, Steve and the staff at KPP Financial employ the latest investing technology, guided by years of experience in finding opportunity and moderating risk for their clients, investing right along with their clients. KPP didn't get out of the market. They were defensive, but they stayed with the market. Long term, that's the safest place to be. And that's the main lesson. If you'd like help with the ins and outs of today's market, look at the series of investment programs for all life situations from KPP Financial. When you're ready, just click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com. Now let's get back to the podcast. This is Invest Talk, 1 hour of financial news and perspective, where you can talk directly with a registered investment advisor. Give Steve a call now. Bring your questions. Our direct line, 888-99-CHART.
My question is, our company is engaged in a partnership with a company that has now our company and several other numerous other companies under it. They're offering us the option of taking our 401k, the balance of it, and being taxed on it and taking it, or putting it back into this new company's or partnership's 401k. I would like to know the best thing to do. I've been looking into gold. I've heard gold on these programs, pre-1933 gold, post-1933 bullion, and then Roth IRA gold, investment gold. Should I put my $37,000 of my 401k in a Roth IRA gold plan with all gold? How would you suggest that I use this money from my 401k? Put it back into the 401k they're offering, or take it and do something else with it, such as gold or what have you, or something else that you might suggest? Thank you.
Do not put all that money in gold. No, that would be a very bad mistake. Just telling you. Look at gold any length of time. Back when I was your age, gold was $800 an ounce or so at one point. Today, it's $1,100 an ounce. That's 30-something years ago. That's a terrible investment. So no, gold is good as a hedge, a short-term investment, those kinds of things. Yeah, it can have some runs, but long-term, mm-mm. Number two, do not take the money. If you take that money and use it, and you're going to be taxed on it. If you take that money and roll it over to an IRA, which might be one of the options, that'd be fine. Or you roll it into the new 401k. That's fine, too. I'd rather see you roll it into an IRA. And I do believe since Company A is buying Company B, I think that is one of the options you have, but I'm not sure. So you need to ask him. Roll into an IRA, then you can invest the money in anything you want, and I would suggest index funds. But if you can't do that, then you roll it into the new company's 401k. Do not distribute it to yourself because you'll be taxed on it, and you may be penalized on it as well by the IRS. So I don't. If you take money out of an IRA or 401k and just put it anywhere you want, some other, without being a comparable retirement type account like an IRA, you'll be taxed. If it's a Roth IRA or Roth 401k, then that's a little bit different, but I'm assuming it's a normal 401k that you have there. So no, do not put all that money in gold. Do not. It's not a smart thing to do. 888-99-CHARP, 888-992-4278. So what do you do to protect your money? You know, one of them is a hedge. You can buy some gold. That's a hedge against protection. And, of course, that's probably why he's thinking about it. He's probably been reading things that, oh, the market, sky's not going to fall. Yeah, and even if the market does fall, it's not going to crash. You know, so, but what can you do? Well, you need to not think the all or nothing kind of attitude, which is what we were just talking about. You know, get out completely, go all gold. Go. No. You know, all or nothing is a mistake. In other words, even when I get the most worried about the market, I'm still not out of the market. I'm out somewhat. For instance, you know, maybe it's a time to raise, as the market grows up, the best thing to do is sell into the rise, take some profits on the way up, be very careful about any new buys, but don't be freaking out about having a lot of cash on the sideline. There's nothing wrong with that. So my suggestion is just, you know, if the market keeps going up, you like to run with it, so just have stops, tighten up stops, meaning you have get-out points as the market rolls over, if it ever does, or your stocks like to roll over, and it just automatically takes you out, sells them. Okay, put some stops, follow the market with a stop, and do rebalancing sooner, because the market has been running pretty hot lately. Maybe you're going to have to rebalance sooner this year. And you can rebalance your portfolio anytime you want to. And again, don't panic about having money on the sidelines. It's okay. I've gone through this so many times, and yeah, the market really runs up, and yeah, you want to be with it. Everybody does. Yeah, but as it goes up, it also gets more risky. But no one knows where the top is. I think we're going to have a long-term bull market still. I don't think it's done, especially if we get that tax cut bill passed. But there's going to be some corrections, and there are going to be some healthy corrections along the way. And we'll have a bear market the next time we see the recession on the horizon. But we don't see that yet. It's not there. So don't panic out. Don't panic in. Don't panic out. I've said that many times. Soon you'll be able to watch our recent wealth webinar, How to Find Income and Value in an Overpriced Market. If you're looking for income, there's a way to uncover the sources. If you're looking for value for the long-term investor, we have bargain hunting techniques that we shared on our webinar. You will be able to play it whenever you want to, but you have to be an InvestTalk Insider. Now, you have to sign up to be an insider, but it's free. There's no long process. It's free. All you do is go to InvestTalk.com to sign up.
In a financial world that becomes more complex every day, KPP Financial's programs are designed to simplify the individual investment process. No matter where your priorities lie, KPP has a strategy that fits your needs and to help you feel more confident in achieving your retirement goals. To find out more, click on the Investments tab on InvestTalk.com.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, we had a bunch of economic statistics given out this week, and I'd always liked them. And this, of course, helped boost the market because they were pretty positive. For instance, the first one out the week was they had the first revision of the third quarter GDP. Now, when it first came out, it was 3%. Now, it's been revised to 3.3%. Now, if you remember right, the second quarter was 3.1%. And the first quarter was 1.9%. Remember, our long-term average in a healthy economy is over 3%. So we're not going to get 3% this year unless we get like 4.5%+ for the fourth quarter. Now, I think we're going to get another 3%+ quarter, and we might finally get a yearly return next year of 3% or more GDP growth. That might happen. So that would be nice because we haven't seen it in umpteen bazillion years. So the revision this week was up 10%, 3.3, 3% to 3.3%. That's up a 10% increase. New home sales were out. 685,000 houses were sold versus 620,000 the month before. 645,000 the month before. And 620,000 they expected. And it was 685. So it was much better than they expected and even better than the month before. They expected a decline and it went up. Income up 0.4%. They expected it to be up 3%, 0.3%, so it's up a little bit more than expectation. And that matched last month. Core inflation, 0.2%. 0.2%. I mean, our core inflation is like 1.6, 1.7% a year. I mean, there's no inflation in the system yet. Then the pending home sales, they were up 3.5%. Remember last month they were down 0.4%. So the economic news was good as a backdrop to, oh, it looks like the tax bill was going to pass. And for that, and then when that came out, a lot of positive things today made the market rally. Made the market rally pretty hard. Because everybody, the backdrop is a healthier economy going forward. That's the backdrop, which is very supportive to stock prices. Now, try to remember. Remember that old rule, buy the rumor and sell the news. So the rumor is the tax bill is going to be passed. If it happens, I don't know if you should expect the market to be rallying as strong as we saw today. I just don't know. Because it may be people are building in that news into the market now. We won't know, of course, till the market, till it happens, but there's that old rule, buy the rumor, sell the news, meaning the rumor is that it's going to happen, and the news, when actually comes out, ho-hum, no one really knows. No one really, it's not a big enough news because they already thought it was going to happen. We're here for you, beginner experienced investor, 888-99-CHARTER is my number. That's our anytime number, and call anytime you want.
Hi, Steve. This is Brad from Sunnyvale, and I have a question, and it's regarding a stock. PG Procter & Gamble, and I was wondering what you think the stock is headed for the long term. Thank you, and I really enjoy your show. I truly do, Steve. Good show. Thank you very much.
I think it's heading up. Procter & Gamble, I mean, we're talking about, this is one of those core companies. It's $229 billion in market cap. And everybody, they match your beauty products and cleaning products, diapers, tissues, healthcare, toothpaste, that kind of thing. Huge company. Don't expect growth. You can't expect growth from this company. So you want to buy it when it's inexpensive. And you can't say that today. You can say it's, just okay as far as expensive. Earnings are going to go up for about 6-7% from the next couple of years. Sales growth are going to grow up 1%, 2%, pretty small. And it's an $89, almost a $90 stock, and they're going to make $4.45. So that's a 20 PE. Well, its five-year range is 17 to 25. So it's not cheap, but it's neither expensive. But you asked over the long haul, where do you think it's going to go? I think it's going to go up. It's going to go up, but it's going to be slow. And you what you do is you want to just focus on the dividend of 3.1%. Their dividend will stay, will maintain that dividend. They've always maintained that dividend. They've always grown the dividend. And that's why you own a Procter & Gamble. I love to buy these kinds of big blue chip stocks in recessions. Because this is anti-cyclical, meaning that even in a recession, they're going to make good sales. And the price of the stock goes down. Therefore, they've never cut their dividend in the recent years. I mean, as far back as I can see from my data here. And so, if the stock price goes down, that means the dividend yield goes up percentage-wise. And then the stock will eventually recover and you'll be a pretty happy camper. Right now, it's not over expensive and it's not cheap. It's just kind of in the middle. Procter & Gamble's up about 0.6% today, up 61 cents. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Here's an investing term you should know. what is called a callable bond. What is a callable bond? What is a callable bond? A callable bond is a bond that can be redeemed by the company entity that issued the bond prior to its maturity date. So they issue a 10-year bond. ABC Company issues a 10-year bond, and it's callable. Well, that means they can make you sell their bond back to them, then call it back to them within a certain period of time. If interest rates have declined since the company first issued the bond, if interest rates decline, the company is likely to refinance the debt and call the bond they issued to you. Now, usually there's a minimum. You can't call it within 2 years or 5 years on a 10-year bond. There's usually a time limit that they can't call it. But to offer that callability, they usually have to pay a little bit higher yield. And what if they're wrong? What if interest rates go up? Well, you just got a higher yield bond that they're not going to call. Callable bond. And if you want to get a better detailed definition, go to investopedia.com. You'll see it there.
A quick reminder, if there's a term that you hear mentioned on the program but you're unclear about what it means or you have a question about it, we want you to ask. It's very likely that you're not the only one with that same question. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, this is Oscar from San Francisco. Just wondering what you think about Disney at these prices. Would you be buying? Thank you very much. That's Disney, D-I-S. Thank you.
I like Disney as a company. I've always liked Disney as a company. I don't know, maybe because I live near Disneyland. Maybe that's why. I don't know. Walt Disney Company operates theme parks, resorts, produces movies, entertainment, licenses, publishes, sells toys, books, etc. And their big drag on Disney has been ESPN. That has been their biggest problem, as far as, you know, one of their divisions that's not making money. They are making money, though, and they grow their money 9% this year, another 5% next year. It's to $6.56 next year. It's $104 stock, so it's not cheap. It's around 18 PE or so, 17, 18 PE. But it's not expensive either because their lowest five-year PE is 15. The highest is 24. Return on equity is 21%. I like it. When they were around 98, 99, under 100 bucks, it was a great time to buy, I thought. Because that was a double and triple bottom right around $97, $98. And it's bounced up in November since then. I don't know if I jump into it right now because, you know, it's been such a strong market. But I would, on any pullback, I'd buy that Disney. They pay a 1.5% dividend. It's only down part for me. Not a big enough dividend. You listen to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. We're quickly running out of time. Time to give me a call. 888-99-CHART. $88.99 chart. We're going to go talk to Nick in Hayward. How you doing, Nick?
Yeah, hi, Steve. Thank you for taking my call. Great show.
Thank you.
What do you think about Comcast? That it's hanging around the same price for a while. You think it'll go up? I'm looking at 2, 3, 4 years, maybe 5 years down the line.
I am not keen on Comcast, Nick, and let me tell you why. Comcast, everybody, provides video, internet, phone, networking, broadcast TV services, and there's my problem. Broadcast TV services through Comcast Cable and NBC Universal. These cable companies are going to have to figure out how they're going to compete in the new world of Hulu and all those other new ways that are being entertainment is being delivered to the millennials and the new generation of people. So these cable companies are kind of on, remember I talked about creative destruction? Part of their business is being destroyed by Netflix, by Hulu, by different ways content and entertainment is provided to you and me. And the old guys are having trouble. Old companies, Comcast, Disney is part of that, but I think Disney is, you know, coming up with their own solution to compete with Netflix. Comcast, I haven't seen them change their focus yet, so I'm a little concerned about them over the next 5 years or so. Short term, okay, they look pretty good. Short term, they look fine, but long term, I'm a little concerned. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks all for the call, Nick. Thanks for the call.
Can you take one more, like Alibaba? What do you think about Alibaba here?
Well, Alibaba, real quick. That's the Chinese Hong Kong based provider of online mobile retail. That's the Amazon in China. I like Alibaba. I think they're going to have strong growth going forward. I think it's just pretty pricey, pretty expensive. They have their P/E ratio is 22-54 in the last 5 years, and right now it's at 41. But the P/E should be high. But I just don't know if it's this high. It has had a great run. I don't think you chase it. You wait for it to pull back, give you some kind of pullback, and then you can buy it. I think 5 years from now, I'm much more positive on Alibaba than Comcast. I can tell you that for the next 5 years. Nick, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. You know, everybody, I mentioned two or three times Creative Destruction today because I was looking at my library. I have I think it's a small library. My wife thinks it's a huge library, but I think it's a small library. And one of my books on top is The Wealth of Nations by Adam Smith. And every so often, this is a book that's like, 1,100 pages, okay, of small print. It's very difficult to read this book all the way through, and I don't know if that's necessarily required. But it is a great book describing how a free economic system works. And he has lots of examples, and it goes way back, a couple hundred years. It's a very good book. There's another book that I think you should read and read all the way through. For those people who want to be wealthy, people have this view in their head, I'm going to be rich, and therefore I'm going to be rich by doing X, Y, Z. But they never, ever, they think rich is a function of earning more money. It's also a function, the other side they never think about, people never think about, is spending less money. How do you think rich people get rich? They spend less than they earn. They invest the rest. But young people that I talk to, and I know a lot of them since I have 39 nieces and nephews who are all young adults, they think the idea of getting rich is, well, I'll just make a lot of money, and they keep buying things. They keep buying things they don't need or spending more money than they should, and they think they're going to get rich. There's two sides of the coin. You got to earn a lot of money and you got to save a lot of money, invest it. You don't even have to earn a lot of money if you do it a long term. So if you want to be rich, spend less than you earn and invest the rest. Time to wrap it up. A reminder, next week I'll be in San Jose for individual reviews, the date of December 6th. To get on the schedule for December 6th, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab, and then portfolio review. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. Justin Klein, I appreciate you spending this hour with us every day. On behalf of the whole KPP family, thank you very much. And let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.